Years ago, some of you have heard me tell you this, but a few years ago I was working in Branson, which isn't too far from here, and a woman I was working with and I were in a conversation, and she asked me where my wife worked, and I said, oh, she works there in Harrison, we live just north of there, and she works for an attorney, and she said, oh yeah, who? And I said, well, she works for Jason Robb. Oh, Jason Robb, oh, I just love him, he did my divorce. She said, he's the greatest guy. But she said, no, you know who his dad is now, don't you? I've heard. So, but I just love Jason. He's just great. So let's give a big round of applause to Jason Robb.
Yes. Wow, I got a standing ovation before I spoke. Well, exactly. I know we're kind of running a little behind schedule, so hopefully we'll get caught up to speed some here eventually. I titled this speech, Our Conquest, Staying Young and Fruitful in the Movement. Now, many of you are here for the first time, and many of you are seasoned individuals that have been coming to this meetings for years and have been involved in the racialist movement for many years. But we all know that there's something going on in this country that should not be going on. We see the massive immigration. We see people that is promoting homosexuality, abortionists. We know that something is going on in our country. We're facing a racial genocide against our white race. No time in history have we been facing this extinction like we are now. In a few decades, Europe will no longer be a majority white. By 2045, America will no longer be a majority white. This year, starting in 2010, for the first time in history, there will be more non-whites born in this country than white babies. If you think you've had seen a drastic change in the past 10 to 15 years, you haven't seen nothing yet. Our white nations are being overrun by Asians and Arabs and Mexicans. However, we are all aware of this. I'm not telling you anything new. The question is, how do we stay in this movement and continue to be positive about it? We all say, and we all will hear others that get involved in this racialist movement, and say, I'm in it for life. And by the next season, they are gone. Yeah. Kind of like the song, Dust in the Wind. They just float away. So the question again, how do we remain mentally young and faithful to this cause and have the staying power not to quit? I believe that there's no better example than in the Bible, in particular, Caleb. Now, Caleb and Joshua had went to the land of Canaan to spy on the people. You've heard of all the story, in order to make a report on whether or not they can take the land. They were the only ones that came back and said, we can take it. The land is bountiful and lush. The other spies, they came back, they were afraid. Because they were afraid if they entered the land, they would not be able to overcome it. When Caleb did enter the promised land, he was old, but his spirit and energy was young. Now, what is interesting is after 40 years had passed, Joshua had asked Caleb what part of the land he wanted. And this is what Caleb said, give me this hill country. Yes. He was 85 years old. Yeah. Wasn't he too old to be conquering territories and sailing new lands? Absolutely not. He had waited a lifetime to gain God's promise, and he was just as eager as 40 when he first entered the promised land than he was at that time. In fact, he said to Joshua, I am still as strong today as I was in the day Moses has sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now. Hallelujah. Caleb knew how to stay young and to be fruitful. He had to wait years for the blessing to materialize, but he never lost hope. He had a fixed focus, and not even 40 years of wilderness wandering was enough to distract or discourage him. Now, can you say the same thing? Do you ever wonder where your dreams have gone about our fight to preserve our race and our nation? The first time Joshua and Caleb viewed the promised land, they knew it was theirs for the taking. This was God's provision, but fear gripped the Israelites' hearts. The negative reports delivered by the other spies seemed to dash their dreams. How often do we hear the negative reports within the white nationalist movement? The government is too big. You can't win. You better stay in your house. The government knows every move you make. You're on a list and they're coming to get you. Yet Joshua and Caleb remained faithful. They believed they would return and were confident that the next time they entered the land, they would conquer it. How many of us will remain faithful? But better yet, how many of us have seen people, as I said before, that says, I'm going to stay in this movement, and the very end, next year, they're gone. The next meeting, you don't see them. In a few years, these same people, they give up, lose hope, and fall to the wayside. How many of us truly believe we will win? How many of us truly believe that we will one day reclaim our beloved country that our forefathers have bled and died for? How many of us truly believe we will one day be able to look at our children's eyes and smile and say, yes, we saved your country? This truth of claiming the land was Joshua and Caleb's motivation. It kept them moving. We can only imagine them getting up every day, every morning, thinking about God's promise. Far too many of our people in this racial struggle are afraid to dream big. But what they don't realize is this, that they cannot dream anything that is too big for God. And the reason we don't dream big in the movement is most of us truly don't believe we will achieve success. We are so concerned about Big Brother is that we lose focus on what we as individuals in this movement can do to spread this rich and exciting message. This message we have should motivate us to talk to others. It should motivate us to attend meetings. It should motivate us to donate to this cause, email family and friends, support organizations that are effectively reaching our people. Now, God gave Caleb a dream and placed it within his heart. Now, how he responded was his choice. Would he remain focused and motivated, or let his heart become burdened by the care of life? So often, doctor's offices are full of people who are trying to cope with shattered dreams. For any number of reasons, they have watched their lives take dismal twists and turns, and now they wonder what their future holds. They are physically sickened by the disappointment and need of hope to ease their pain. And so often, we in this racialist movement get literally sick because we are so depressed of what we see around us. Joshua and Caleb had to endure overwhelming circumstances in order to return to the place where God had given them his promise. They witnessed death of an entire generation. Their family and friends literally had passed away. These same people had opposed God and refused to go into the promised land. Yet the Bible does not indicate that a single negative remark was made by either one of them. Joshua became a leader, and Caleb grew stronger so that when he did return to the land, he could take possession of the hill country, not the flatlands, but the land that was the toughest to conquer. So how do we stay young and fruitful in this racialist struggle, even in challenging times like we see it in front of us? There are 10 ways. Number one, keep learning. If you quit learning, you will begin to age. Discouragement is one of the enemy's basic tools. Our enemies want to stop us dead in our tracks. This is why learning is so important, but it has to be the right type of learning. Don't get bogged down with all the massive information about how big, powerful the government is, how you're not going to be able to do anything, that the government controls everything. If they were all powerful and all controlling, you would not be here today. Surround yourself with positive books to keep you motivated. Surround yourself with books about our heritage and culture. Be informed what is happening, but don't just ponder on it. But when we are determined to press on and learn something new, our enemy's plans are quickly derailed. Number two, keep loving God and our people. God tells us, you shall love the Lord with your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Notice that this includes our emotions, our thoughts, and our physical well-being. He will bless us when our hearts are set on Him and loving Him, which also includes learning how to love our white brothers and sisters who do not fully understand this message. They are our racial kindred people, and we should love them no less. It would be as if you had a child and he had gone astray. You would not love him any less because he'd gone astray. You would want to have him come back to your family. We literally have millions of white people out there who don't actually see the racial genocide that's happening upon their people. It's just oblivious to them. But we should not love them any less. Number three, keep laughing. Laughter is one of the most productive cures for sorrow, discouragement, and hopefulness. When I got to the part of keep laughing, I kept on thinking Bonnie. Every time I see her, she's in a positive, good mood. Amen. And I think that's something we need more of. Laughter actually releases chemicals within the brain that helps to lift our moods. Physically, it relaxes us and relieves stress and tension. I believe Jesus was a happy person who laughed a lot. From the scriptures, we can see the people who are naturally drawn to a person whose countenance is reflective of love and joy.
Amen.
Caleb and Joshua rest in God's care, and I believe laughter was a part of their journey to blessing. We should be overjoyed that we have been bestowed with this awesome responsibility to spread this message. This should reflect everything we do, from speaking with people on the internet to those on the street. We should be overjoyed again that we can take this message to our white brothers and sisters out there, wherever they are.
Amen.
We shouldn't be depressed and moaning and moping around, saying, oh, what can I do? No, that's not going to get anyone excited about this movement. It's not going to get anyone excited about this message. I remember when me and my sister and brother, we would go to rallies. We would get done, and my dad and mom would make sure they would have a pizza party after we got done with the rally. Sometimes we would order pizza, and my dad would have a pin that says, I love pizza. And it was a way to get us excited about what we were doing. We should be excited about it. Again, we should not be depressed.
Amen.
We need to celebrate when we do things for our people and our cause, and take pride that we are reaching our people.
Amen.
Number four, keep leaving. Make it a habit of leaving disappointments, negativity, and failures behind. People who are constantly looking back can't move forward.
Amen.
We so often see that in our movement. We often see people talking negative all the time and failures in the movement. And it's good to be aware of it, but we shouldn't focus on it.
Amen.
We should continue to be looking forward. If anyone has seen a horse race, they've seen the horses with blinders. And the reason they have those blinders, so horses cannot see what's going on their left, they can't see what's going right, and they can't see behind them. They're looking straight ahead. And as the people in this movement, we should be doing the exact same thing. We should have blinders on and continue looking forward. We should remember what has happened in the past, but we should not be turning our heads.
Amen.
Looking forward. That's the only way we can continue reaching our people.
Hallelujah.
Number five, keep longing. The Lord placed a dream within Caleb's heart, and no matter what happened, the dream remained.
Amen.
Were there times when his faith was tested? Probably. But like most of us, he may have been tempted to wonder if he would have ever seen the promised land again.
Amen.
But he did not give up. We should continue to long for the day when we will claim victory.
Absolutely.
We should continue to long for the day when we will have a homeland for our children, where they will be proud of their race, where they won't be ashamed for saying, I'm white and proud.
Amen.
We should continue to long. We should continue long for the day when young mothers will be able to walk safely through the parks without the fear of some blacks or Mexicans jumping out of the tree and trying to rape them or murder them. We shall long for the day when our beloved country will look and reflect how he used to look. That is how it was being white and it was being Christian. You don't have to give up in doubts or fears. Your imagination is a gift from God. When you stop using it, you begin to age. Go ahead, dream big, and watch God do the impossible in our life and our movement. Number 6, keep looking up. Do you want your dreams to unfold of reclaiming our country? Do you desire clear guidance? Do you long to learn more about yourself on how to stay young and fruitful in this racial struggle? Do you desire to grow a backbone? Do you desire to stay faithful? Do you desire to repel negativity? Do you desire to stay courageous? Do you desire to be motivated? If you desire this, then you will have to continue to remember that our Lord and Savior is in control. Then you must look up to God, and remember He is in control.
Amen.
Number 7, keep laboring. Caleb never woke up with the thought of quitting. He stayed active and agile. People have all kinds of problems. And so many times people make excuses to avoid the labor to stay in the movement. Oh, I'm too old. Oh, I'm too young. No one in my area believes like me. The meeting I went to was too small. A reporter was there. I don't have enough money to contribute. I do have some money, but if I donate, someone's going to get rich off of it. They don't believe anything like I do. I've been involved 2 years. I don't see anything happening. Blah, blah, blah. God gave us the idea of labor so we would have a sense of accomplishment.
Yes.
He knows that laboring for this cause helps to keep us young and mentally alert.
Yes.
As in the movement, who knows what something you may say may keep a person to remain dedicated to this cause.
Yes.
Maybe the money you donated help a speaker such as Paul Fromm or Jamie Kelso or Pastor Rob to continue to get to one more meeting to reach more people. Maybe the literature you passed out helped awake a white brother and a sister. Maybe attending another meeting caused someone to stay in a little bit longer. But labor and accomplishment goes hand in hand. When you're laboring for this cause, however insignificant it may seem, you will feel accomplished because you know you are furthering this cause. Number 8, keep leaning. You must learn to lean on God. If Caleb had been determined to get back to this promised land in his own strength, he would have never have made it. Knowing that the Lord was the source of his strength, he trusted and depended on him. We so often believe that this movement is going to be won or lost just on our own efforts. We need to remember that we are only the tool. God is in control. He knows the time and day of our victory. And at the same time, as a tool, we have a purpose. We are all tools reaching out to our white brothers and sisters in every form and every fashion. Some of us can speak, some of us can write, some of us can contribute money, some of us can pass out literature, some can be a person that talks to someone else on the street, to the next door neighbor. We are all like an instrument in an orchestra. We all have a purpose. An orchestra makes beautiful music. One is no more important than the other. The instruments as a whole is what makes the music. It's the same thing here. We all have a duty to do our part. If you're not doing your part, God can't use you. Number 9, keep your language positive. What your mouth speaks, what your ears hear, and your brain registers. The end result is this. Our body responds accordingly. Don't say I'm too old. There's nothing I can do. Don't say I'm too young. Don't be vulgar when speaking to people. You're representing this message. And by your words, reflect what that person will think what this movement is. Don't be paranoid. By you being paranoid, we'll instill fear in others. And we shouldn't be afraid. Instill confidence. Instill courage. Instill self-worth. Literally, your words will physically change how others react. To remain in this movement for the long haul requires us to have the right positive language.
Amen.
You can stay mentally youthful and fruitful, but to do so, you need to think correctly. Number 10, keep listening. If you want to stay mentally young and effective in this movement to the end, you must make a commitment to listen for God's voice. He is still speaking to us today through His Word. Through the godly counsel of men and women devoted to Him, and through the Holy Spirit who lives within those of us who have received Jesus Christ as their Savior. God was in the hearts of the men and women on the Mayflower crossing the Atlantic. God was in the hearts of the men and women who fought and bled for our country during the Revolutionary War. And God is in the hearts of men and women of today that knows that there's something wrong with our country. And we do not want it to be destroyed. When we listen to His voice, we will find that this expands our horizons. He shows us things about ourselves that no one else can or should see. Caleb kept an ear open for God's command. How do we know this? Because the moment he heard that the Israelites were coming back to enter the promised land, he was up front and ready to serve them. Later, when he came to divide up the land and receive what had been promised to him, he wasn't behind everyone else. He stepped up front, 85 years old, and said, "Give me this hill country. I am still as strong as today as I was in the days of Moses." So years from now, when we have conquered our enemies and we have conquered our country, will you be around to say that? Will you be able to be around to say, "I remained young and faithful to this cause. I didn't back down when times were tough." In conclusion, do you have Caleb's attitude? Do you have the ability to mentally stay young and fruitful in this movement? It's not easy, but are your children worth it? Do you have the ability to say, "Give me this hill country. I will not let our country be destroyed. I will do everything in my ability to keep fighting this racial genocide that we are seeing upon us and our children." Amen. Do you have the ability to stay young? You can, but you must make a decision to do just like Caleb did in the Bible and live by the same principles that carried him forward in his years. Stay positive. And to keep learning, keep loving our people, keep laughing and energetic for this cause, keep leaving negativity behind you, keep longing for our days of reclaiming our country, keep looking up towards God for guidance, keep laboring for this cause, keep leaning on God, and keep listening to God's voice, and remember, He has not abandoned our people. Look at history, and you can see that. And if you do all those things, you'll remain faithful and be young forever in this cause. Thank you.
Thank you, Jason. That was excellent. We appreciate that. Let's give him another round of applause. So stay faithful and do something.